Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Rich, also known as Running Dry Rich. Now, he is an amazing running mentor, and in his episode he talks about being his true self, having better sleep, a bit like Leanne yesterday, and also something he's coined the Narnia effect. And what he means by that is that in sobriety there's kind of a world at the back of the wardrobe. You start seeing the world in HD, and it opens doors to opportunities.
My next one, and yeah. I've kind of labelled this one, I've given this one a little story and everything. I've called it the Narnia effect.
Oh, go on.
So like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, famous movie. Or famous book.
I was going to say it was a book before it was a movie. Yeah. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, no, I know. I should know that because I read it when I was a kid. Yeah, anyway, famous book. The idea of when they find the wardrobe and they're scared and they sort of open the door and they're like, oh, there's something through here. Let's step through and have a look. And it's just this world of wow, you know, incredibly high intense, you know, everything in HD. You've got the witch, you've got the snow, you've got the senses are on raised alert. And for me, that's like the Narnia effect. And for me, that's what going alcohol-free does. It raises all the sensations of everything and enables you to sort of see the world in HD, if you like.
I got goosebumps. Yeah, so that's amazing. I love that. That's the first time anybody's said anything like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love that Narnia effect. I can just imagine it.
Do you know what? One of the reasons why I love running is because I do most of my best thinking when I do most of my best thinking and non-thinking when I'm running. And what I mean by that is, I'm going off a bit tangent now, is what I mean by that is if I've got something I need to process, an idea, a problem, whatever it is, I find when I go running, I do that very well. But then also when I've got something which is bugging me that I just want to forget about, I go running and I can get into a meditative state and it takes it away. A lot of my best ideas come to me when I'm running and when I'm in the shower or when I'm driving.
Yeah, the basically. God of the shower. I like the God of the shower. The God of the shower is always right, isn't it?
But the only problem with all of those three situations is that I'm never able to write things down. So I have great ideas and then like memory like a sieve, but I can't remember them. I was thinking about this idea of our life being in HD and this sort of the intensity of the experience, you know, being sort of much more elevated. And I was trying to think of kind of, you know, what that was like stepping through that door. And I think for a lot of people who, you know, are fearful of what we said before, you know, that fear of, you know, taking alcohol away and what they're going to lose out on. I think that perhaps that metaphor might be something that, you know, people will look at and think, oh, actually, oh, that's interesting. You know, that idea of opening a door to a world that you've not seen before, that you don't know, that is a bit scary, it is a bit dark, it's something that doesn't feel normal, going through the back of a wardrobe. This is weird. Oh, hang on a second, there's a completely different, you know, parallel universe almost. And it's not a parallel universe, let's be honest. We're all still on the same bloody planet, you know, and we all still do the same things. But it does feel like it opens up a world of opportunities. And I think, you know, for me particularly, it's those opportunities and those experiences that I've benefited from in the last 18 months. You know, I've done more in the last 18 months than I did in the 18 years previous in terms of achievements. Like 100% wouldn't have done the things that I've done, you know, or not just the beer, but all the other stuff I've done, running ultra marathons, starting my own podcast, you know, all of that stuff I just would not have done if I was still drinking. So that's that kind of Narnia effect.
Yeah, same here. I mean, somebody once said to me years ago, tongue in cheek, I wonder what you'd achieve if you weren't drinking alcohol. In other words, if you weren't dumbing yourself down every few days with a hangover or slowing yourself down of an evening drinking, what could you achieve? And I smile at that now because I think, well, I think we've only just begun, to be honest. I really do feel like I'm actually living my life now. I don't know what the hell I was playing at for the last 20 odd years.
100%. There's so much to explore and get excited about, you know, for me for the future. And I think that again, that's something that's come to me, the excitement of what's in store in the future. Whereas before, I think I always catastrophized about the future and I regretted the past. And that stopped me living in the moment. Whereas now I'm really excited about the future, but I'm not so focused on it that it takes me away from the present moment. So it kind of helps with that being present factor, I think, as well. My last one, which is a kind of a physical sort of positive, really, for like sleep. My good God, sleep. And this is multi-layered as well, because like one of the really horrible things that I experienced physically for me when I was drinking was, yes, the hangovers and the headaches the next day, but also the effect it had on my sleep. So yes, a couple of drinks maybe sedates you. If you drink enough, it probably sedates you to go to sleep in the first instance. But then A, you don't get into that really full REM sleep. Your body is never allowed to get into that 90-minute cycle of REM sleep where that really restorative sleep happens, where our brains process memories and consolidate things from short-term to long-term memories, which is one of the reasons why we have blackouts, even on a minor level, you know, that idea of, oh God, I can't even remember how I got home last night. You know, and that's because your brain has a long-term memory of where you live. So you get in a taxi when you're drunk, you tell the taxi where you live because you know where you live. It's a long-term memory. It's embedded in your mind. But then you get home, you wake up and say, like, how did I get home last night? I don't remember. Because your brain hasn't been able to process that short-term memory of the fact that you got in a taxi.
Yeah.
So that for me, you know, the quality of the sleep. So, and I'd found if I had a drink or two, it was probably worse than having several drinks. Because at least with several drinks, it would knock me out. If I'd only had one or two, it wouldn't be enough to knock me out. And I'd get into bed with this kind of racing heart anxiety. And I would just lie there catastrophizing and kind of all the problems of the world would just be on my shoulders. And I'd just struggle to get to sleep. And then the flip side of that is once you do get to sleep, whether you've drunk a lot or whether you've drunk a little, you inevitably, especially when you go past the age of about 35, 40, you're going to wake in the night, A, to go to the toilet, and B, I would wake up feeling like someone was sat on my chest, just like kind of literally like gasping for breath, you know, like the devil had been sat on my chest, sort of looking at me and waiting for me to wake up. And then once I'm awake, I can't get back to sleep, you know, and then I just lie in bed for hours again.
And then your mind going, isn't it?
Mm. Your mind going. And then when you finally do get to sleep, you're then wiped out. And the next day, it's just totally ruined the day. So my sleep now, I read. I normally read myself to sleep within about 10-15 minutes. So I often find that I have to repeat about the last page of a book from the night before, wherever I've got up to remind myself what I've read. But I go to sleep. Sometimes I wait to go to the toilet at the night. That's fine. I'll get back into bed immediately, back to sleep.
Yeah.
And even if I get six and a half hours sleep, it's good quality restorative sleep. And I wake up the next day and I've got more energy. I've got more focus. I've got more clarity. And what that all gives you is more time. So I get up 5:30 most mornings. I run, I do some work, I clean the kitchen, I get the kids packed lunches ready for school. You know, the productivity level, it's like a productivity hack. Getting good quality sleep will just give you so much more efficiency in your life and make you so much more productive in what you do. I do go to bed normally fairly early, like between 9 and 10.
Yeah, we do.
I like it. Like I like going to bed. I like reading. I like going to sleep. And I don't watch a huge amount of telly these days, much to my wife's annoyance, because I don't go and sit next to her and cuddle up and watch something on TV. But like, I like getting to bed early and getting a good night's sleep. I like waking up early. I love being up before the rest of the world. You know, there's nothing.
Were you
better.
Always like that, though? Were you always an early riser?
Not when I was a kid. I've been an early riser probably for the last 10, 15 years, I think. I think from starting running has probably changed that for me, like getting up early and running early, you know, getting that done, getting that exercise in before, you know, the rest of the day starts. Has always been, for the last sort of 10, 15 years, been something that I've enjoyed. But in particular, since I've gone alcohol free, you know, kind of shifting that 6:37 alarm clock back to like 5. You know, for me, a lie-in now is like 7, half 7.
Yeah.
You know, even at the weekend, you know, yeah. and then even then I'm like, I just want to get out of bed. I feel like I'm wasting the day.
I find that if somebody would have told me though, as a drinker, what's going to happen is you're going to be getting up earlier and going to bed earlier. I'd be like, oh, that sounds really boring. But it isn't. It's just that you're shifting your time clock and you've just got more productive, more alert, more awake hours. What's really boring, actually, is wasting those last couple of hours of the day, staying up for the sake of staying up. What I noticed when I first went sober, I've got an Apple Watch and it told me, and this was the really weird stat, it sort of flagged up a few different things within a couple of weeks of stopping drinking. And one of them was my REM sleep and my deep sleep.
Yeah.
And both of them had doubled because it actually, I don't know how it does it. It breaks down and tells you how long you've been in each stage of sleep.
Yeah.
And it told me it had doubled for both. But the length of time I was asleep was the same.
Yeah.
Now, how freaky is that?
Yeah, it is. It's that quality of sleep.
It blew my mind. And that's when I read Matthew Walker's book about sleep, which is also a brilliant book to read.
I've not read that. I do need to read that. It was on my ever-increasing list of books to read.
It's really good. Once you realise how important sleep is, I mean, it's important for your health, for, like you say, processing things. Our dreams are processing times. It's not a passive activity. A lot of people think it's this passive activity, but it isn't. It's a really active part of our lives that our bodies are regenerating and, you know, our brains are being washed over. It's so clever. So clever.
I honestly think it is the, and a lot of people say this now, there's a lot of science around it, but I think it is the number one most important thing in terms of those pillars of health and well-being alongside, you know, removing alcohol. But, you know, that's more of a subjective choice as whether you want to do that or not. Whereas sleep, it's something that, you know, we all have to do. You know, we can go days without drinking water or eating food, but try and go 48 hours without sleeping. Christ, my God, you're going to be in a world of pain and hurt and frustration and mood and negativity that comes with it. So that REM, as you quite rightly alluded to, that REM sleep, that restorative sleep, where your brain gets to process all of the thoughts and all of the memories and all of that kind of stuff, is so, so important. And then the other thing I was going to say, you talk about stats, my resting heart rate, like, overnight went from about 60 to about 48, like literally overnight.
I think you're showing how fit you are there. I think mine went from nearly 70 to 60. I'm not a runner like you, but I like to think I'm fit now. But as a drinker, I wasn't. And it was really shocking. But 10 beats per minute, mine dropped 10 beats per minute.
10 beats per minute. And that is a lot. And mine's gone up a couple of beats per minute, I think, now on average, because I've started drinking coffee more in the morning, which I never used to do, but I found a really great coffee brand that I just love, a black coffee, literally, like, first thing in the morning, especially if I'm getting up early to go for a run, which, you know, does invariably happen at weekends for a long run. It's that kind of hit that I need just to get the engine going. But it's still around 49, 50 beats per minute.
I don't know the science of the heartbeat thing, but in my head, I just think, well, the less my heart needs to beat, surely that's a good thing.
I don't know the science either, but, you know, certainly, you know, it's one of the biggest muscles in your body, and the less it has to work hard,
and the better, yeah.
Surely that, and the more efficient it is, then surely that's got to be a good thing.
It has to be. It means it's working efficiently, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I noticed that as well. So sleep is a big thing, and resting heart rate. Those biological differences that you noticed. Was there anything else you noticed from a health and fitness perspective?
I mean, there's lots of things, if I'm honest with you, like, and a lot of it comes from the sleep element, I guess, as well. But the sort of the clarity, the focus and the clarity that it brings, removing that kind of cloudy cotton wool head that was, I think I just permanently lived in a state of fog, brain fog, which just lifted. And now it's like, I have to be quite careful, because now my self-belief is like through the roof, so much so that I just can't say no to things. Like, I keep saying, yeah, I'll do that, yeah, I'll give that a go, like, and I've had to really rein myself in recently, because it, you know, I overcooked it a little bit. I took on too much because I thought I was invincible, and then I got ill. And I think it was my body's way of saying, you maybe stretch yourself a little bit far. Let's rein it back in a little bit. You know, you
don't get too cocky. Don't get too cocky.
You're not superhuman. You are still human.
Even Superman has kryptonite.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
but self-belief is powerful. And goodness me, if I'd have realized how much my confidence, and just confidence to be me, And that, like, you talk about people pleasing, and I'm the ultimate people pleaser. I got it from my mum. I blame her. She is the ultimate people pleaser. It is just such a waste of time and energy. I wish I could tell my daughter, who is doing the same thing. It's like, don't. Yeah. Please learn from us. Don't
100%,
do it.
100%. And, you know, once you do, it's such a... So from my business perspective, or starting my own business, it was not having to get validation from anyone else, I think, for me, was quite liberating.
Yeah.
And having that, especially for starting your own business, I think is really important, because you have to have that confidence and that conviction in your own decisions, you know, yeah. and belief in yourself. And, you know, you're not going to make the right decision every time, but backing yourself. My granddad, God rest his soul, used to say something which I'll always remember, was not always right, but never in doubt.
Oh, I like that.
I love that.
If you'd like to listen to the whole episode, then head back to the 23rd of Jan and look for Rich. If you'd like to find out more about working with me, then head to my website, louisaevans.com. I don't just support with sobriety, I also help with many other areas, including anxiety, overthinking, and low mood. On the website, you'll find lots of resources, including my online Sober Resilience course. And if you use the code RESILIENCE544 as a Sober Rebel listener, you'll get a 30% discount. And also a range of hypnosis recordings. Use code SOBERREBEL, all one word, to buy one, get one free. Self-hypnosis is a very powerful and effective way to begin to reprogram how we automatically think about things. You'll find a range of different topics on my website. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests on the Sober Rebel podcast for sharing their story and for taking the time to talk to me. The Sober Rebel podcast will be back very soon. I'm just currently recording some fantastic episodes to share with you. I hope you have a good day.